5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to Tech Talk. It is I, Stephen Scott, back with you here once again. And this is our official first episode of 2021. I know we had a first episode of 2021, but this is the official one, okay? I'll explain more in a moment, but first let me get the guys on here. Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, hello, happy new year to you.
Hello, it's me and half the kids in our street who are playing.
Yes.
Very happily.
You brought friends
outside the window.
Lovely.
Yeah. I think the vacuum's shot on our double glazing because you can hear them really loudly. So I'm going to mute when I don't talk.
Can hear them as clear as day.
Yeah.
Okay, we've also got Tim Schwartz here as well from lifeafterblindness.com. Hello to you, sir.
Hello, Stephen and Robin. Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year to you, Tim. And Emails Andy is here.
Hello, hello. No kids playing outside my window because it's too cold out there, because it's Scotland.
Exactly, that's right. That's the answer to all your problems. Move to Scotland and then the kids don't go outside. It's great.
That was my mistake.
I will say, you might have noticed a little bing in the background there. That was my lady... Well, actually, it was my Lady G. I was going to say Lady A, but it was Lady G.
Ooh.
I've plugged her in, guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that Kenny G's wife or something?
That's right, yeah. Well, no, I plugged in my Lady G because, you know, I've got the Google Nest Mini and I thought, right, I haven't used this ever and I keep thinking I must use this. I must start using this. And today is the day, although I haven't used it at all today. So I'm so difficult because, you know, the A Lady just does everything. Why do I need the G Lady?
I have actually found recently, though, that mine's stopped responding quite often. So, yeah, I don't know. If it carries on that way, I might have to start thinking about fraternizing with other ladies as well.
Oh,
see, I have the opposite problem. My Lady A listens to everything. She'll pick up words that aren't even close to her wake word and,
just
bonks at us all the time.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. Because I've noticed something, though. If you turn the volume up on your A Lady... For some, I don't know if this is just me, right? This might just be one of those things that happens and you just don't, you think, oh, that must be the reason. But I turn my volume up on it and it responds better. If I turn the volume down, she doesn't respond as much.
Maybe she thinks you're deaf and so she feels like she has to listen more carefully when you're yelling at her. I don't know.
Possibly, yeah. That's right, yeah.
So the funniest thing is my wife will clear her throat, be late at night, kids in bed, you know, sitting there watching TV, and she'll just do a little like that. And Lady A will ask what she can do for her. It's the oddest thing.
It's ridiculous. It really is. Ridiculous. Anyway, how was your Christmas and New Year's? Was it good?
Yes, really good.
Absolutely was good. It's only going to get better as the month of January goes forward. But yes,
well,
it is so good.
It can't get any worse, let's be honest.
Especially here in America. But that's another discussion.
Let's not go there. I mean, we could talk about that all show. I put on CNN the other night for 5 minutes, and then 8 hours later I'd finished watching it. It was just ridiculous.
I had a similar experience,
so
yes. I would be in Canada right now if it wasn't as cold as Scotland.
Yeah, emigrate. There's a significant tech angle, which we won't go into, but around, you know, the different networks blocking him and, you know, antitrust and freedom of speech and all that sort of thing. But you know, maybe over the coming weeks and months, we will actually see some fallout from that and uncover it then. But it's interesting times. That's the Chinese curse,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think it is maybe worth mentioning a bit about that because, you know, one of the things about, obviously, Twitter has banned him, Facebook, Instagram. I didn't know he had an Instagram account. Who knew that Donald Trump was on... I personally wouldn't ever follow anybody on Instagram, so or least of all the president of the United... or the current president of the United States. I can't really imagine following Joe Biden on Instagram either, if I'm honest. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things... I think it's all a bit too late. You know, it feels a bit tokenistic. We're talking days to go and now they decide to ban him. What does that really mean? You know, what does it say about free speech? I mean, there are lots of question marks, but I think that you know, the big question has been, how are social networks impacting on our lives? Now, I haven't watched this documentary. I was mentioning this to Andy earlier on a call. You know, there's this Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma.
Mm.
I've avoided it at the moment because I'm utterly terrified about it because I don't want to watch it.
It's in my watch list, but I'm so just like, really? We live this, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I kind of worry about what's going on, but I'm wanting also just to, you know, go into ostrich mode and, you know, pretend it's all just passing by. You know, because I know that, the only bit I saw a clip of it, and the clip I saw was terrifying enough. It was when you're scrolling through Facebook, apparently, what Facebook does, and I don't think it's alone or you know, it's just Facebook that does this, but apparently as you scroll, they time how long you're on an image or a video. They'll time it. And then that will help them decide, I say them, I mean the AI essentially decides, you know, what to throw up at you next. It's just unbelievable how much data they take from you, how they work out who you are as a person. I mean, if I watched that documentary, I know I'd probably never go on social media again, but apparently we're on social media, Andy, at RNIB Radio. So we're not allowed to come off it, apparently.
Yeah, as someone whose job focuses quite a lot around social media, I too have also taken the ostrich approach and buried my head in the sand with regards to that documentary. I'm afraid that if I watch it, I'll suddenly have to reevaluate quite a lot of things about my life.
It's terrifying what they can get hold of. And I think what I also find interesting is how tied in we are to this. I mean, I was thinking about getting rid of Facebook. I was thinking of just deleting it. And then I thought, oh, well, you know, we've got the local group round here. A lot of towns, you know, villages have got their own Facebook groups, you know. And I was thinking, oh, well, we've got that, so maybe I shouldn't get rid of it because that's quite handy to have. And then I'm thinking if I delete it, you know, I can't use my Oculus Quest VR headset because it only works if you have a Facebook account.
I very rashly chose the option of signing with Facebook on a number of services. And I've actually looked into the different sites to see how I can change my login option to an email, but I can't see it anyway.
No, they tie you in.
Yeah. But Nextdoor, that's a really good hyper-local social network. Maybe that's an option instead of the Facebook local.
I was also reading as well, a lot of blind people on Twitter, and I don't know if this is just blind people, maybe it's everybody, I don't know, but people seem to be diving off WhatsApp like it's the Titanic. What was the deal there? I mean, have we been hearing about this? Because is it terms and conditions? Is it to do with that? Andy, I think you might know a bit about this.
Yeah, I looked into this briefly as to find out there was an update to the privacy rules, and this has caused quite a few people to jump on the bandwagon of, I don't like my data being used for this, this, and this. As far as the news goes this morning, I think there was a pop-up alert informing some of their users that it's updating their privacy rules and regulations.
Yeah, I got that this morning, yeah.
Yeah, so as of something like the 8th of February, things will start changing. So I advise people who are worried about these type of things to look into it, but bear in mind, WhatsApp is part of the Facebook family. So it's not just WhatsApp, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, Facebook Messenger, and all of the little subsidiaries as well. So if you're clued in on these things, you'll probably know all about it already.
I was listening to an item about how the T's and C's in these different social networks are basically their get out, and they rely on people not reading them all. And it said that the average number of social networks and other apps that people are subscribed to, if they actually read all the T's and C's, it would take 74 man days of reading 24/7. So
But then we'd know that they're going to come after our house in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. You know, first that's the problem. So yes, we, you know, they rely on people not reading it. You know, but I mean, they are in lieu of legislation, basically, and regulation. But the day, I think, is fast coming where government will have to step in and provide some better framework. Because at the moment, they have huge power, not a lot of accountability, and not a lot of awareness. You know, it's relying on people reading this stuff, but nobody does.
Well, everybody always talks about 1984 and, you know, Big Brother's watching. It's not the government that's after you. It's independent companies that have the access to your data. That's the problem.
Yep.
You know, we're handing this stuff. I mean, this is the other part of it. People will say, well, you know, they're taking this and they're doing this with it and they're doing that with it. Yeah, but you're giving this data to people. It's not like anyone's taking it from us. There are some elements I believe are being taken. I think that the amount of information we put in terms of, like I was saying, with the scrolling thing, you know, them counting the seconds of how much time you spend looking at the picture of the cute animal, then, you know, the video of the whatever, and therefore that allows them to work out the kind of person you are when you're, apparently they can tell when you're most bored, when you're feeling lonely, you know, they can work out all this stuff from you, essentially psychoanalyzing you as a person. And in the most terrifying phrase I heard in the whole clip, and this was just one clip of it, I haven't even watched the documentary, just the clip, said, you know, what these social networks are trying to do is reverse engineer our brains. I mean, you know, my brain isn't that great to start with. They're going to reverse it.
Mine could do with being reverse engineered, I think. Anyway.
Yeah. Aside all this terrifying stuff, which we will be talking lots
Happy
more
New
about.
Year.
Aside all that. Yes, this is our first official show of 2021, because the previous shows, I'm not going to lie to you guys, you know, we did record these shows earlier in December, so we could have some time off over Christmas, New Year. So our email inbox, Andy, I can only imagine, is bursting at the seams.
Yeah, when I checked it this morning, on the document that I use, it said the last time I updated it was the end of November.
How many pages?
So we're now up to 19 pages.
That's an absolute disgrace.
I'm pretty sure on the last show that we recorded all together, I said we just got down into single digits, like 8 or 9 pages in, and now we've added double that.
Okay, well, we will get through them. I promise you, we will work through them over the next couple of weeks. We are going to be talking as well about some exciting news from Seeing AI from Microsoft. A big update coming up on that we'll tell you about. And Robin has questioned over Google's Nest Hub. Now, I've just obviously hooked up my Nest Mini, but apparently the Nest Hub could be using radar to track our sleep, and you have questioned, Robin. We're going to hear those a bit later. And also, a lot of you might have got an Orbit Reader at this time of year. Perhaps RNIB have sent you one, or perhaps you've bought one by yourself. Then, you know, you might be interested to know you can actually get books from RNIB Library and read them in Braille on your device. We're going to hear about that from Ben Rendell, but we actually are going to be joined by Ben right now, because we're going to kick things off with a very interesting story. This is RNIB, who are promoting the work that's being done to support children and young people and their families with sight loss. Really important work that's being done to try and raise awareness of the support that's out there, in particular for parents at the moment, who, you know, a lot of the parents out there are homeschooling, having all the challenges of dealing with that, and, you know, dealing with all the technology that goes with it. So, you know, if you want to know how to plug in the Braille display, or, you know, what happens when JAWS stops working, well, who do you turn to? Well, you can turn to the Technology for Life team. Ben Rendell is one of the guys there, and he joins me now on the line. Hi to you, Ben.
Hi, Stephen.
So it is an important time of year, of course, for parents, because, you know, kids are going back to school virtually. So remote learning is a big thing, of course. And getting heads around technology in the home can be challenging for anybody. But for parents of blind children, or blind parents of kids who want to help out their kids get online, maybe connect up their Braille devices or whatever might be the case, that can be a real challenge for parents, can't it?
Yeah, it can. You know, there's a lot of technology now that parents have never seen before. They might have not had their hands on it, you know, or even understand it, especially when it comes to Braille, because they probably don't know Braille themselves. When you look at a Braille display, it's very difficult to understand it if you don't know Braille.
And that's why these sessions are being set up from Technology for Life. So tell us more about these.
Yeah, so the sessions are in conjunction with our children, young people's and families team, and they're all about home working or home learning, however you want to put it. And basically what we're looking to do is answer any questions that parents might have about the practicalities of their child working from home, what technology they might have to use. You know, for example, it might be, you know, going into an app to complete work, or, you know, using a remote desktop, or, you know, using a Braille display to read work. You know, there's so many different things that the child might have to do, but it's also about what are the extra, you know, additional pieces of technology that might help. You know, so it might be, you know, how are they going to do research, you know, themselves at home? How can they do that? You know, well, they could use an Amazon Echo to do research. You know, little tips like that is the sort of thing we're looking to to add, but also just be there to answer the questions. Because I think often when it comes to things like this, parents don't know where to go to get the answer. And immediately they don't think of phoning up R&IB and asking to speak to Tech for Life. You know, it just doesn't come to mind when you've got a million and one other things to do. So that's why we're looking to just be there and listen and answer where we can.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because you're right. You know, who do you turn to? Where is the advice? Where is the support? Because it's very specific, isn't it? If you've got a Braille display sitting there and your child says to you, I need to connect this to my computer, you might be thinking, okay, what end of what cable goes where? And, you know, what happens when I do it? How do I know what works? And all of these things that matter and really can make the difference so that the child can actually continue to learn. I mean, the child might know some of it from their own knowledge, but, you know, a lot of the time they may be getting support from QTVIs, you know, qualified teachers for visually impaired people might also be able to join in there and, you know, fix those problems. You know, you don't have that support at home, and often those teachers are busy with other work.
Well, exactly. And, you know, often in a school environment, you also usually have access to on-site IT support as well. So when the QTVIs don't know, they'll ring up tech support. And whilst they might not understand Braille displays, they know something, or they'd know who to ask. And, you know, so there's a whole support mechanism that isn't there anymore. So it's showing them that there is support, and that, you know, we deal with children as well as older people. Because I think the other, you know, thing people think that, you know, R&IB, you know, they deal with older people, or it's a bit of a misconception. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm just showing that technology is for everyone, and to answer those questions, but also help, you know, understand the technology. So it's all right, how do you do this, but what is it actually doing? Just explaining, you know, okay, well, it's doing this, and it might do this because, or if it doesn't do this, then you can try this. So troubleshooting tips as well. You know, if it goes wrong, this is what you can try, or this is what you can do differently. Or even it might be, you know, you gave the example of the Braille display with the computer. You know, we can say to them, well, you do know that a lot of Braille displays now you can use with a phone or a tablet as well. So it might be giving them that use out of it.
Yeah, no, that's great. So when are these sessions starting? How can people get involved in them, and what support is there?
So the sessions are starting next week, I believe. We haven't got any absolutely firm dates yet. So what I would say is that people should get in touch with the Children, Young People and Families team, as they are coordinating it. So you can do that through our helpline. Shall I give you the number?
Yes, please.
Yes. So it's 0303 123 9999, and you can also email cypf@rnib.org.uk.
And aside that, I mean, obviously these are tailored sessions that will give support, but beyond that, can people contact the Technology for Life team for advice? Can someone, you know, give the team a call via the RNIB helpline, you know, at a different point if they're concerned or confused about something?
Yeah, anytime you can call us. So we operate our technology helpline between 9 and 5, Monday to Friday. So just give us a call, ask to speak to the Technology for Life when you ring up the helpline. And, you know, we're more than happy to answer any questions you have. We might not know the answer straight away, but we'll always do our best to go away, research it, and ask the right people and get the answers for you. And, you know, you can also email tfl@rnib.org.uk.
Ben, thank you so much for your time. Ben Rendell from the Technology for Life team. Good to have you here on RNIB Connect Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers to Ben. Right, let's get on with the news.
News from the internet.
And there's plenty of it to talk about. The big story of the week, and indeed the month, I would say so far, is seeing AI. They've finally got a new update. I say finally as if, you know, we were, you know, desperately waiting for it. We weren't. But this is a really interesting feature, which only, I have to say this off the bat, guys, only works if you've got the iPhone 12 Pro or the iPhone 12 Pro Max or one of the iPad Pro's 2020 editions.
I think this is why it's potentially not the biggest story of the month, but yeah, carry on.
Well, I think it is, actually.
I mean, it's fantastic, but how many people have got those? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah. I don't care.
I know, because I know, because you've got one. Yeah, go on, tell us how good it is.
Well, that's not the only reason I think it's wonderful, because I've got it, but actually because it is a wonderful feature. You know, it's been referred to as life-changing by some people, and that's often a word that when you hear that, you think, yeah, right, whatever. But actually, on this occasion, yeah, I think that the term life-changing can be used. So here's how it works. It's called the World Channel. You know there's different channels in Seeing AI. If you know the app, you'll know you've got your short text, and you've got documents, and you've got currency, and there's a whole wide range of different ones. And this new channel called World Channel essentially uses the LiDAR scanner that is inside the phone, and that is the device, the wonderful little scanner that can determine depth. It can sense its own depth with this scanner, which is amazing. So the phone becomes very clever and very capable of a whole wide range of different things. And the one which I demoed with it was finding a cup on a table. Now, when I say that, many blind people will smile and sighted people will go, "Uh?" But, you know, the bottom line is if you're blind, you can easily misplace a cup. Tim, how many keyboards have you lost in the past few months?
Oh, years? We don't need to talk about it. Yeah. yes. Spilled water is, well, my nemesis.
I think Andy remembers only too well when we were back in the office, Andy, and one day somebody had come into the office in the morning. I think you came in just after it happened. And someone had left a cup precariously on my desk with water in it, which I didn't see. And I put my hand across the desk, took the cup, and the water went everywhere. Let's just say the air turned a beautiful colour of blue for a while, whilst I, you know, shouted about it for, you know, it just really irritated me. So, you know, this is a thing that happens. It happens a lot, and, you know, it's something I'd like to, if possible, avoid. But let's say you've put your cup of tea down and you want to, you know, find it because you've forgotten where you've put it. Well, you can pick up your phone, you go to the World Channel, and you start scanning the room. The camera on the back of the phone will start scanning the room in front of you, and it will start to identify things that it comes up in contact with. Now, it's not perfect. There have been a few occasions where people's, you know, certain things have been, you know, deemed ridiculous. I think, what was the one I heard? There was one that was, I think it was like car was identified, when it couldn't possibly be a car because it was inside the house. It was actually a sofa, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not perfect. But it did identify my cup, and what's quite cool is it apparently on the screen labels the cup, so you can label it, and then what you can do is you can swipe, if you've got VoiceOver on, you would swipe up and down for different actions, and it will let you, you know, assign the cup a name. It will actually identify that cup, because that's the thing, right? You identify the cup, you want it to be your cup, you don't want it to be someone else's, so you want it to be your cup. So you can label it, and then you can actually track the cup. You can almost put, it's like a little location beacon that turns on. And you can, if you've got, especially if you've got headphones on, you can actually locate the cup just by, you know, moving your phone left and right, and you'll hear the movement in your ears, like Soundscape, trying to find a location. It will be able to pin you down. And I was able to put a blindfold on and find my cup 3 times without knowing where it was. I should say it wasn't in the same place 3 times. I did move it around. But, you know, it worked, and it was really, really clever, and I thought, this is life-changing. This is where things... It's very early days with LiDAR, but everything that's come out from LiDAR so far has been accessibility-focused. The first feature was people detection, and now this, Microsoft developing this this wonderful world feature into Seeing AI. So, you know, I've got to say, guys, I'm very impressed by this, and I don't know if you guys... Nobody here's got a Pro, have they? It's only me that's got the Pro at the moment.
No.
Yeah, no, unfortunately. We've got an 11 Pro in the house, but not a 12, because I have the SE 2020. And now I'm thinking, boy, I wish I had only known and not gotten my SE 2020, although I really love my SE 2020. But the promising thing here, I think, is obviously the technology and what it can do for us. And we had said this when LiDAR came out. We weren't really sure, is this going to be something that will be useful for the blind and visually impaired? Is this really going to do anything? Because we were all excited about AR and what AR could bring. And then we're like, well, wait a minute, this isn't AR. What is this? But seeing this in action and knowing that it can do this is promising and what's really great is that Microsoft got on board this quickly. Uh-huh. You know, those iPhones just came out a few months ago, and Microsoft is already supporting this within Seeing AI because Microsoft understands the potential of this technology. And to me, that's the big news. That's the big promise going forward is hopefully, presumably, every Apple phone, you know, iPhone going forward will have LiDAR. And so as we all catch up to you, Stephen, and we get our new phones over the, you know, the coming years and we have LiDAR, Microsoft already supports it. It's already there. And so that to me is really cool that Microsoft has already gone board.
I'm saving my pennies for Apple glasses, which will have it too. So yeah.
Well, this is true.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
So the pimple detection iPads got them. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say the iPad's got them as well. The iPad Pro 2020 does have it as well. So some people may unwittingly have the technology, not realize they actually already have it. Because I keep forgetting about the iPad Pro, but it does have LiDAR in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, the pupil detection, which is now built into the camera app for, you know, detecting people, social distancing, following people in queues, we covered it a while ago. That probably isn't going to be good with the iPad.
Yeah, you're saying. Not going to walk around your supermarket with an iPad Pro around
scratch
your neck,
your chest.
I would imagine. Yeah. No.
Might be good, actually. Might be. Anyway.
There's probably a lanyard for that, Steve.
Yeah, well, there's a lanyard for everything.
Uh-huh.
Blind people love the lanyards.
I've got a question.
Exciting time.
Yeah.
Have you tried it in... I mean, obviously you were trying it with the mug in your living room or your kitchen. Have you tried it in a space that you're not familiar with? Like, have you tried it in a room you've never been in before and tried it then at all?
Well, no, but then I can't imagine it would be any different. I mean, are you meaning amongst other mugs, or are you thinking...
Well, it says here, I'm reading the blurb, and it says, with this support, people can explore an unfamiliar space in 3D. So I'm guessing that comes in into maybe a supermarket you've not been in before, or a shop you've not been in before, so it helps you navigate that space and being able to say, here's a door handle, here's a step... you know, counter on one side or whatever. So it's all very well in a living room that you're familiar with to find objects, but what about the room in general that you're not familiar with?
Well, I guess that the problem at the moment is you can't go anywhere to test any of this stuff.
There is that, yeah. Yeah, you're stuck
indoors.
Everything
is in my house. But, I mean, I think the idea is that, you know, you can sort of point it. You know, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, the dogs in my house, I've got two dogs now. I've got my little Dougal dog and my wife's got her guide dog, Coco. And, you know, Dougal has an incredible habit of parking himself in a place that I guarantee I'll fall over him. And Coco's obviously seen this behaviour and thought, I'll do that too. So now I've got two dogs I can fall over at any given moment. So having them around and having the phone to be able just to say, where are those blooming dogs? I can find them and, you know, keep out their way. So that's a good thing, you know. So no, I mean, it's really, really interesting technology. I'll be keen to see how it develops for sure this year. I think this is going to be a big year for LiDAR. And I'm just really pleased to see that accessibility is at the forefront. Speaking of iPhones, you will all be able to get your hands on the iPhone 13, which apparently all the new iPhone 13s will have LiDAR built in. So look forward to that, guys. Ooh. iPhone SE 2 or 3 or whatever one it'll be. I don't know is the honest answer. I don't think it'll have LiDAR in it. I'd be amazed if it does.
Probably not.
Hmm. We'll see. I don't think so, no. I don't think so either. Okay, let's talk about Google's next Nest Hub, which apparently could be using radar to track our sleep. Robin has questions.
Yeah, so this, like you say, it's the new version that's going to be coming out sometime this year, the article says, of the Nest Hub, which apparently already looks a bit like an alarm clock anyway. And they're suggesting that... one use that Google will put it to is for tracking your sleep. So
this is the one with the screen and the camera, the hub, isn't it?
It hasn't got the camera, apparently.
What does it not?
That's what they were saying here. So it hasn't got a camera, which is why it's probably, you know, more acceptable to be in a bedroom.
Right.
There's radar. So this is, you know, with sound as opposed to lasers. But the Pixel 4 phones had this radar capability which could recognize near gestures. So gestures that, you know, you were performing close to the phone. It was called Soli, S-O-L-I, their, you know, project name. It was discontinued and it's not in any of the Pixel phones now, which might tell you something about how well it performed. I don't know. But they're bringing it back. It's already in the Nest thermostat. It's still in there. And it's about detecting movement. I don't know why it's in the Nest thermostat. Maybe to tell if people are in the house? I don't know. It wouldn't be able to detect things very far away, because one of the problems that the people that have written this article, The Verge, are foreseeing is that it's really only good close up. So if you roll over to the other side of a king-size bed, for example, it might stop detecting your motion and hence think you've had a good night's sleep, but really you've been thrashing around on the other side of the bed. They give other examples as well. So if, you know, you've got pets that come up and join you on the bed, then, you know, they might be moving around, but you might be fine. There are other activities in the bedroom that, you know, might be detected.
Careful.
When it, I know, sorry. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, how are they going to wrinkle out these? How are they going to iron out these
Why
wrinkles?
Would you want this?
Yeah.
Why would, leave me alone. I'm sleeping in my bed. I know what I'm doing. I'm tossing and turning and struggling to breathe. That's my life.
Right. So, you know, there's a big question mark over this, but sleep tracking is a, you know, big business now, isn't it? It's in the Apple Watch. There are loads of other devices and gadgets and ways of sleep tracking to detect how good a night's sleep you've had. The article does go on to say that, you know, okay, sleep tracking aside, which is actually what Google are saying it will be good for, it might also be used for gestures. So, you know, if you don't want to... if you can't summon up enough vocal dexterity first thing in the morning to tell your alarm to stop, like you would with the A-Lady, for example, you could wave at this thing and it would detect that and stop the alarm and stuff like that. So
that was something I did read about the Google Home, or the Google Nest, as it is now, or whatever it's called this week. Is it Google Nest?
I just called it Nest, up. Yeah.
Nest
Hub or Nest, just the Nest.
Terrible name. but basically... one of the things it can do is, you know, it's a bit more sensible in some respects. So, for example, an alarm goes off. You don't have to say the A word or the G word or the hey word or whatever it is. You don't have to do that to get its attention and say stop. It just say stop. You know, I think those kind of things are pretty cool. You know, I think in some ways it's a bit more sensible. Go back to this point. I mean, I plugged this in the other day. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this thing? You were the same, Mandy, because you've got the Google Home Mini and whatever it's called this week.
And I'll be really frank with you, because I've moved house recently. It's still in the box. The Echo Show 8 came out of the box, and that's on my bedside table. But no, unfortunately, my little hub is still in the box.
Yeah.
I feel bad about it. It's just in hibernation mode now.
Well, we shall see. I'm not so sure about the whole sleep tracking via... that I don't like that sounds that I don't like it. I want that to stop immediately.
Yeah,
I almost feel better about the other applications of this than the sleep tracking. I mean, unless you were mounting it to the ceiling and it was scanning directly straight down on top of you to make sure it's getting a proper scan or readout or whatever, I just don't see it with this. I'd rather use my Apple Watch or other sleep tracking things and my CPAP machine to help me breathe and just get on with it. I mean, the gestures thing is good because, you know, like Robin said, a lot of times in the morning where you just can't get the energy to say something. Or if you are somebody who is mute or have other, you know, verbal disabilities of some kind, you know, that could be helpful to just give it a gesture. A particular gesture comes to mind to tell it to snooze and leave me alone.
I've used that one a few mornings.
Mm-hmm. But so, I mean, that sounds more promising to me than the sleep tracking because I just... I don't know. I'd have to see it in, you know, in process, but it just, I don't know. It just kind of sounds weird.
Mm. Right, we'll leave it there because I want to move on. We've got the emails coming up. We'll get into some of those. And also, we're going to be finding out right now about how you can enjoy your RNIB library books courtesy of your Orbit Reader. Yes, you can get your books in Braille now from the RNIB library and download them to your Orbit Reader Braille display and read them as you please. You can do this on other Braille displays as well. But here's Ben Rendell once again from the Technology for Life team at RNIB to tell us how to do it on your Orbit.
Hello, Ben here from the Technology for Life team. Did you know that as well as offering audiobooks on CD, USB and via digital download, RNIB also offers electronic Braille, meaning that you can carry around thousands of Braille books without needing a small removals team at your disposal. Today I'm going to give you a quick demonstration of how to do this using our reader services platform and an Orbit Reader 20. So our first job is to log into RNIB Reading Services.
Windows D, folder view, list view, Google Chrome, enter. Untitled dash Google Chrome, address and search bar, edit R, home dash reading services, reading services dot rnib dot org dot location from history, 1 of 7.
There we go, it's in my history already. So let's go straight to that.
Enter. Home dash reading services dash Google Chrome will play from where you left off in home dash reading sir home dash reading service.
So now we need to log in.
Cookies help, OK button, search button. Search region, title, author, or ISBN.
Okay, so it's already logged me in, whereas normally, if you're coming to this as new, then you may need to log in with your email address and password. If you're not registered for RNIB Reading Services, please contact us and we can give you more details on how to do so. Let's search for a book then. Let's try a classic, Oliver Twist.
O-L-I-V-E-R, Oliver, T-W-I-S-T, Twist, enter, search button to activate, press enter. Alert, searching title, alert, 3 non-RNI, search results region, show entries, com, search results, colon. 1220s Judd Street, London, 1220, copyright 2020, wrapping the top, type search, don't navigate, search, title, format, combo, produced by, search button, blank. Searching title, link, return to my home, searching title, catalog, dot, dot, dot.
Okay, so it's still searching at the moment, so we need blank. To wait a little bit
search
longer.
Search button, clear form button. Clear form, search results region, search results colon button to add, grid, Oliver Twist link.
Here we
Oliver
go.
Twist left parent penguin, Oliver Twist link, escape.
So we want to check this is the right one for us. So let's
enter.
Click on this.
Enter. Title details dash reading
here
services, cookies help.
So let's check that it's
visited blank.
Braille.
Oliver Twist heading blank. Oliver Twist, a criminal street gang. Oliver Twist is an orphan living on the dangerous London streets with no one but himself to rely on. Fleeing from poverty and hardship, he falls in with a criminal street gang who will not let him go. However hard he tries to escape, and Oliver Twist Dickens graphically conjures up the capital's underworld, full of prostitutes, thieves, and lost and homeless children.
Definitely the right book. Let's check that it's in Braille.
Download title in Braille, left parent, BRF, right parent button.
There we go. That's exactly what we want. So let's download.
Enter complimentary region. Download title in Braille, left parent, BRF, right parent button to activate. Press enter. Alert. Download alert. Download complete colon Oliver underline twist underline reading underline services underline user underline 100315 underline BRF.zip. Press shift plus F6 to cycle to the downloads bar area.
There we go. That was pretty quick, wasn't it? Let's go and find that. As you heard, it's a zip file, so the first thing we're going to need to do is unzip it.
Windows E, File Explorer, Item, Not, Tree View, Levels, D, Desktop, D, Downloads, Enter, Shell Folder View, Last Week Expand, Today Expanded, Oliver Underline, Twist Underline, Reading Underline, Services Underline, User Underline, 100.
So to unzip it, we're going to use the Applications key, and if you haven't got one of those, Shift and F10 will do the job.
Applications, contact, open a new, convene, share with, extract all, dot, 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 X.
That's what we want.
Enter, leaving menus, downloads, browse, dot, dot, show, extract button to add, enter, cancel button to activate, press space bar, downloads, items, view, multi-select list box, today expanded, Oliver underline, twist underline, reading underline, services underline, items, view, type, BRF file, one of, Oliver.
That's what we want the BRF file, so it's done that. So now all we have to do is go onto our Orbit Reader. So a couple of points to note. Before you connect the Orbit Reader to your computer, if you haven't got an SD card slot on your computer, you will need to connect to the Orbit Reader directly. And there are a couple of setting changes that we would recommend to make to the Orbit Reader before you do this. So we need to turn the Orbit Reader on. And we go to settings with select an up arrow. Find where it says USB. And I'm just doing this by pressing the up arrow at the moment. Okay, so we are where it says USB. We're just going to press the right arrow to change that setting. And we want it to say mass storage, which it now says. So we're going to press OK to confirm that. And now on the display, it just says mass storage. That's all it says. Mass storage mode. So I'm just going to, I've got one end of the cable plugged into the computer already. I'm just going to plug this one in now.
New notification from autoplay, USB drive left parent F colon right parent, select what happens with room.
Okay, so it's detected it as a removable drive, a bit like plugging in a USB memory stick. So I'm going to just put this down here I'm going to find the file.
Task switching. Downloads. To Oliver. Oliver underline twist underline read. Type compressed left pair. Oliver underline twist. Type file folder one. Oliver.
So we need to enter. Go into this
Oliver
again.
Oliver under. Type BRF.
That's the file we want. So let's copy that.
Copied. Preview level 2. T. This PC 2. 3D. Desk document. Music. Pictures. Videos. Local disk. DVDR. New volume left pair and E call. USB drive left pair and F call.
That's the Orbit Reader.
Enter. Items view multi select list box. Not selected adult. 0 2 children. IB 3 of 12.
As you can see, I've got
manual,
lots of books on here.
Music 5 of 12.
All my folders that you would normally see on the Orbit Reader
reference,
are here.
6 of 12. Test folder 7 of 12. Ref. IB 3 of 12. Children 2 of 12. Adult 1 of 12.
So let's just put it. We won't put it in any particular folder. We'll just plunk it here for now.
Pasted. 3% complete. 3% complete. Copying one item from Oliver underline twist underline reading underline services underline user underline 100315 underline BRF to USB drive left parent F colon right parent dash 0% complete. Pause the operation checkbox not checked. To check press space bar. USB drive left parent F colon right parent. Items view multi select list box. Oliver underline.
Okay, that's in there now. So we'll just close that window.
Alt F4. File.
And now we'll unplug the Orbit Reader. And we'll go down the list. Okay, the Orbit Reader has become unresponsive at this point, but I think a quick off and on again should fix that. There we go. Yep, let's fix that. So we'll go down. And there we can see it says Oliver Twist. So I'm just going to press select on that. And then it says Oliver Twist. If I keep scrolling, we have the book. Another useful feature you might not know about on the Orbit Reader is a thing called auto scroll. And this can be activated just by pressing the space bar. And then it will automatically scroll your books. That's it. If you need any more information, you can call the RNIB helpline and ask to speak to the Technology for Life team. And that number is 0303 123 9999, or you can email tfl@rnib.org.uk. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Rendell, of course, there from the Technology for Life team. As Ben says, you can get in touch by calling the helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can get in touch by emailing tfl@rnib.org.uk. Right, before we get to the emails, I know, Robin, there's a couple of things come up you want to mention.
Yes, please. So... It's coming around again, the monthly webinar that I do with leading accessibility boards. And the next one is on the 19th. So that's Tuesday at 1 p.m. at the same time that Tech Talk will go out next week.
Shocking.
Yeah. So you don't have to choose, though, because if you sign up, then you can catch the recording afterwards. Who am I talking to this month? It's Alejandro Malido. He is of the European Disability Forum or Foundation, sorry. And he's just a brilliant guy. It's going to be a really, really good conversation about all areas of accessibility. We'll probably cover law to a certain extent as well, if that is your thing, because obviously there's a widening of the gap between European legislation and what we're going to have here in the UK, at least anyway. So please do check it out. There's an easy URL, which is abilitynet.org.uk/insights-EDF, because they're Accessibility Insights. That's the name of the chat each month. So insights-EDF, please go and check that out. Sign up now while places last. So that's that
and
one.
If you're, yeah, I was going to say, and if you're an avid video gamer, there's another one as well from Guide Dogs. It's well worth knowing about.
Absolutely. So Guide Dogs, they are calling all avid blind or low vision gamers.
And what if you're not avid? What if you're just, you know, a gamer?
Tepid.
Passive.
I wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
And or they're basically, providing you with information. It's about a fundraising campaign to improve awareness of gaming and also the number of titles that might be available. So it's to kind of up the game when it comes to what avid gamers with a vision impairment are able to access. So, yeah, really well worth it. And anyone that's kind of interested in gaming, if you email gaming@guidedogs.org.uk and you can, sign up and become one of those people that are helping with that project. I don't know much about what's involved, but if that sounds like a good thing, gaming@guidedogs.org.uk.
Okay, thanks for that, Robin. Right, lots of content this week for us to get through, so we can finally now get to your emails.
We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
And even in 2021, we still have the doorbell. Maybe it's a Ring doorbell, in which case that'd be okay, because that's technical. Anyway, Andy, email time.
It's me at the door, which doesn't make sense, because I've been sat here for the whole show. So I nip out, ring the doorbell, and come back in again.
Come back in again, yeah.
Yeah. So before I get into the archives, here's a nice one from Shazad in Birmingham to start with. Hi, everyone, and I hope you are all fine. I hope that 2021 will be more exciting for blind people in regards to technology, as I hope there will be more voice-driven products coming out in 2021. That's an email from Shazad.
Don't we all? Okay.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Right, thanks, Shazad. Okay, what else?
Hi, Tech Talk team. I have often heard you talk about the Apple TV box, and I was thinking of buying one. And then I noticed on my Amazon Fire TV stick that there is an Apple TV app that seems to give me access to my account, and I can play videos accessibly from that app. Do you know whether there is an advantage in buying the Apple TV box, or does the app give me everything that I could get from that box? Really enjoy the show, and many thanks for introducing me to so many interesting gadgets. That's from Nick.
We cost people so much money on this program. Sorry, Nick. It's an interesting question. I love the Apple TV box, but I am coming away from it week by week by week for various reasons. I still use it. It's my main box. I use it in the house, other than my Sky box, which obviously isn't accessible. I just kind of got them down the channels with that, and I use voice control for the rest. It's not perfect, but it kind of works. Whereas with the Apple TV, what I love about it is that all the apps, pretty much all the apps, and I'm talking here video on demand apps, are accessible. The weirdest one of all is the Amazon Prime Video app. I have no idea why it uses its own voice, not the Apple system. Every other app, like iPlayer, ITV Hub, Channel 4, MyFive, even Now TV, all the other ones, they will all use the standard Apple setup, the Apple voiceover. But for some reason, when you go into the Amazon Prime Video, it changes it. And it doesn't work anywhere near as good as the other ones do. It's not as responsive. It's more like using a Fire Stick. Sorry, Tim. But it is. It's more like using that, and it's not much fun. So, for that reason, I think that it's probably a better box because you get access to more content on demand. There are, of course, other apps on there, which, like gaming apps and all that, which probably aren't as accessible as you would probably expect, right? But if you're looking for the video on demand content, with AD, that's the other thing with audio description. So BBC iPlayer with AD, so fully accessible app with audio description, and easy to find, because when you go to the Apple TV and you go to a program to watch, there are two options. There's a play button you're dropped on, and then if you swipe to the right, there's a play with audio description button. If there isn't a play with AD button, it doesn't have it. Bottom line, Channel 4 does have AD on there. MyFive does. ITV doesn't yet, which is kind of annoying. ITV app on the Apple TV doesn't have audio description options. Does on the Apple and Android phones on the apps, but not on Apple TV. And you can't AirPlay from your phone to your TV. All will happen is it will send the audio with the audio description, but not the video. Yeah, they've got a bit of work to do on that one. So that's kind of where we are with that. But I think it's good. I still think it's good. I fear that the Apple TV is going down a route of disappearing. I think they're trying to get the app onto as many places as possible. And eventually I think that the Apple TV will go away. But for the moment, it's there and it's accessible. Yeah, I think
no,
it will.
No, 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 no. They're putting so much behind the Apple Arcade as well as Fitness Plus that both can be utilized, of course, with your Apple TV, in addition to all the streaming and on-demand apps and, you know, so many other types of apps that you can utilize on Apple TV. No, I think that they're actually going all in with Apple TV, and they're not going to steer away from it. I do agree with you that if you're just wanting the Apple TV Plus experience, where you're just getting to see their movies and TV shows within that app, then yeah, you can get a Fire Stick or anything else and use that to access that content. But, you know, for our house, you know, I'm the only blind person in the house, but the sighted people in the house like using Apple Arcade, and we've just recently started using Fitness Plus quite a bit, and so many other apps. There's a cam app that my wife likes to watch that has like live cams. You know, I think it's like basically his Earth Cam, or it might be Earth Cam's app.
Yeah.
So she can pop in and see, you know, cameras all around the world, and, you know, pretend that we're outside of our house for, you know, a few minutes and somewhere else. But yeah, I mean, so many different things that are on Apple TV, the box, in addition to the TV Plus service, I don't think they're going to go away from it.
Mm. Well, we'll see. I mean, I also think there's maybe a chance that we'll get a stick version of the Apple TV.
That I could see.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, I would like to see that. Right, Andy, what else have we got in the emails?
Hi, says Rebecca in an email titled, "Thanks for inserting demo of Audio Sync in last episode. I can tell you that the latest update of Audible Sync works with JAWS 2020, but knowing when to press the space bar or the enter key is tricky. The app isn't consistent, but it is easier to use than Audible Manager. Will there be a way to download and play books from the PC if Audible Manager is phased out? I've downloaded Audible books to my iPhone and iPod Touch, but I prefer using the Victor Reader Stream because I get fewer interruptions. Love the show and look forward to your commentary on the Apple event." That's how old this email is.
Wow, that's an old email.
"I don't regret buying the iPhone SE, particularly if the rumored cost of the iPhone Mini 12 is as expensive as rumors suggest. Thanks." That's from Rebecca.
And they just announced the iPhone 14. No,
I know Rebecca's got a few emails in this list of the 19, so that's her first one.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, the thing is, you mentioned Apple event, but who knows which one that is? There have been so many
three
of them.
Yeah,
it was the April one.
Okay, let's get another email in.
"Hi guys, I'm sighted, but aware that it will affect all of us at some point. I do software development and I have a blind grandma, which is stroke related, which led me to your podcast. I tried to listen to the 5-year backlog of episodes, but skipped a year or two. Forgive me."
Medal in the face.
"Basically, I'd like you all, yes, all, to stop pouring water on NVDA and force yourselves to use it at work and home for a whole month or so, maybe even 6 weeks, as you are always doing a massive disservice to the blind community by only really having advocates for JAWS, proprietary, or Narrator, Windows 10 version dependent. NVDA is equivalent to JAWS fully. It is maintained by users like you and I, so always has the best possible features and customization. They had a bad phase before 2018 with Windows changing things, but got back on track immediately. The episode in question that finally broke me was episode 344, where you mentioned the cost difference in time moving away from JAWS and sight licensing at RNIB. Stop shooting from the hip and actually gain some experience of the free community solution," he says in capitals. Now, he said, "Alid's self-confessed brief experience with NVDA is not enough." I think he might mean... I'm not sure who he means there. Alid? Do we have an Alid?
Not that I know of.
No.
I mean, I think this is an interesting question because I see a lot of people on Twitter and on Facebook groups now saying, you know, "I've just bought my latest version of JAWS or my upgraded version of it, and I'm going to have to spend more money again in a few months' time because pretty much it's out of date as soon as I buy it, and then I have to prepare for paying again. Why am I still doing this?" And on it goes. It is probably a good time to look at NVDA. Now, in terms of RNIB or corporate business looking at it as a solution, I just don't know if that's feasible because it is a community support thing.
So I've been doing some a little bit of digging, and for me, I feel so strongly about this, and obviously my dog does too, because you can hear him barking.
Completely agree, yeah.
Probably. Absolutely. If you look at the two screen readers and what they can do with the accessibility features that are built into Windows and different apps, the information that they expose through MSAA or UI automation, the different ways that Windows and apps can expose information, they are completely comparable. They are absolutely completely comparable. But where it really departs is with scripting. And scripting in JAWS is part, you know, is second to none. And that is covers a whole range of things, including what is spoken automatically when you open up an application or go into a different, you know, area of each application, or things that you can assign to a keystroke to make it easier to get around that application or grab a bit of information, or things that aren't spoken. It suppresses, you know, extra verbiage and that sort of thing. And these three areas really do assist productivity. And I just quickly jumped into the scripts for some common applications that you would use in productivity situations where money shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. So in Excel, for example, there are 142 scripts, and these are all separate. These aren't the say line, read title, you know, read character, all the things that are in the kind of screen reader by default, i.e. the things that you would get in NVDA as well. These are additional ones that are just for Excel. And there's nearly 4,000 lines of code in that script file for those 142 scripts. So this is serious dev that's gone on that you wouldn't get in NVDA out of the box. Yes, you can go up to the formula bar in NVDA and you can do everything in NVDA to successfully use Excel, for example, but you're not really going to get the extra productivity that is required to, you know, really excel to be able to get around that. Excuse the pun.
So who sent that email in? Sorry, Andy.
That's from Tyeth, that email.
Tyeth, it's your move, I think, is what Robin's saying.
Yeah.
Luke, we're out of time. We're out of time. I'd love to discuss this more because I wish we'd got to this email earlier. But it's a huge topic. We must come back to this.
I'm sure we will.
Because we will, because it's a really interesting one. I am keen to play around with NVDA, but, you know, playing around with it, using it every day for me, you know, for basic work is fine. But it is, you know, what JAWS does is a very different thing for a lot of people. Not all of us are using it just for that. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Well, I'll toss in very quickly. I used NVDA for 2 years straight after switching careers, so it can be done.
Yeah. Okay, well, completely. We'll get into next week. That's it for our show this week. Thank you, as always, to Robin Christophers.
Thanks.
And to Tim Schwartz.
Thank you very much.
And emails Andy.
Thank you.
We'll catch you again next week. Email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Catch you next time.